We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're part of the Blue Wire Network. I am Ricky O'Donnell. As always, I'm here with Jason Pett. Jace, Bulls just got one of their very best wins of the season on Monday night, beating the Sacramento Kings 113-109 to start off a four-game West Coast road trip. The Bulls trailed this game by 22 points late in the third quarter, Jason. Storm back in the fourth quarter behind incredible shot making from DeMar DeRozan, a career high scoring performance from Kobe White, and just enough clutch time magic that the Bulls have seemed to possess all season, forcing the Kings into a number of mental errors down the stretch for the Bulls to somehow take this game. Kobe sets a new career high, 37 points, shoots 14 of 19 from the field. DeMar DeRozan goes 10 of 12 from the field to finish with 33 points on the night. DeRozan, I believe, outscored the Kings 19-18 in the fourth quarter and was just totally unconscious during that stretch. It was a game where the Bulls, you know, ran a very tight rotation. You had 40 minutes for Io, 44 for Kobe, 38 for DeRozan. It was a nightmare Vooch game. He shot 4-13 from the field. The Bulls were playing incredibly soft and sorry basketball with Nikola Vucevic in the middle. But you have to credit DeMar and Kobe in particular for being so brilliant. They can overcome the anchor that is Nikola Vucevic in the front court. So Bulls win. Jace, incredible stuff. It pumps them up to 29-32 on the season. And much like many great Bulls wins this year, the conversation coming out of the game was often, well, great, now Arturis is going to keep this team together forever. And you have to think that Arturis has done an exceptionally poor job when you still have negative discourse coming out of a win as fantastic as this one. Jason, it is the third comeback this year for the Bulls of more than 20 points. That leads the NBA. The Bulls had previously come back from 23 down in the third quarter against the Timberwolves. They had come down. They had come back to beat the Heat after opening the game down 22-1, and they had come back to beat the Raptors down 17 with under 5 minutes left. Those stats are all from our buddy Cody Westerlund, who was on the last episode of this podcast. Jace, no guests today, just me and you. So I got to ask, how are you feeling about the Bulls after that monumental comeback win?
I mean, I really, really no different, because like literally they've been doing the same thing for almost all season, and especially for the last couple months, because they are now, I believe it's 11-11 since the ring night game. It's basically that they go back and forth, win, a loss, maybe they They haven't, I think, won or lost more than three games in a row. They haven't lost more than three games in a row since, I think, Zach's initial injury. They haven't won more than three games in a row, I think, since that ring night game. I think they were going for a four-game winning streak that night, and they infamously lost that game. I mean, it's just almost every game is the same. Like I said, I put out a lot of tweets. Go check out my Twitter. We'll talk about some of this stuff here, but I mean, every night they come out and they get their brains bashed in the first quarter. Basically every night, obviously not every single game, but most games, they come out and get smoked in the first quarter. Then they usually make some kind of run and then whatever. They're usually in the, like, I mean, look at their last three wins. This game, they're down 22 points late in the third quarter. They come back and win in clutch time. The Cavs game, they were down 12 points early in the fourth quarter. They come back and win in double overtime. The Pelicans game, they were down 12 points late in the third quarter. They come back and win in clutch time. Almost every game features them falling behind big and then making some huge comeback. And then for the more often than not lately, they've pulled it out in clutch time. Their clutch magic this season has been absolutely insane. We remember two years ago when DeMar was doing his thing, and you mentioned DeMar was insane last night. I mean, just hitting ridiculous shots, pull-up threes, fadeaway, contested fadeaways, contested like floaters, drives. Steph Noe had a kind of a little highlight mix that he put out of the fourth quarter. As you mentioned, he outscored the Kings himself. The Kings shot 6 of 20 from the field, 0 of 6 from 3, and had 6 turnovers in the fourth quarter. De'Aaron Fox, who's usually pretty good in clutch time, was just a complete disaster with several just awful turnovers. I believe he missed a go-ahead three-point attempt. The Kings just a total meltdown. Like, the Bulls, you credit the Bulls for just finding their game, because, I mean, they had 67 points late in the third quarter. And then they just scored 46 points the rest of the game. And over the course of 15 minutes, the Kings scored 20 points over that course of the time. The Kings, you don't have huge comebacks like this without the other team melting down. And it seems like the Bulls put a spell on some of these teams after they go, they take big leads and then they just totally fall apart, because it just keeps happening over and over again. And again, some of that credit goes to the Bulls defense for forcing turnovers. We see Alex Caruso forcing crunch time turnovers basically nightly, and it happened again last night. But some of these, I mean, remember the Timberwolves game, meltdown. The Cavs game was a total meltdown by the Cavs in regulation, and then in overtime as well. This game last night, even with the Bulls just losing their minds, the Kings, if they play bad in the fourth quarter, they still win. Instead, they like went full-blown collapse and just totally couldn't do anything. Absolutely insane stuff that the Bulls just keep doing over and over again. And that's really been this kind of the story of the season now at this point. They're 29 and 32. They should probably be like 25 and 36. Some of these wins you named off, some of these huge wins, the most in the league of 21 or more. You mentioned that Raptors game. They come back from 17 down in the last 5 minutes. A couple other games I mentioned to Cody as well when he tweeted that, like that Sixers game, they went to Philly. Joel Embiid playing earlier this year, they got down, I think, like 15 or 16 points within like first quarter, like almost right away. They win that game on the road, like no business winning that game. There have been a few others as well. Like, they beat the Bucks without Zach and DeMar. That was Alex Caruso's game tying shot. They win in overtime. The Bulls have been like an unstoppable force in overtime. So just like the Bulls are just, they're 29 and 32. They keep hanging around the same record because they just don't stop. They don't quit in games. And we asked this question last pod with Cody, like, do the Bulls deserve more credit for this? And like, the players do deserve credit for not quitting in games. They could mail it in. They get down by 20 points. They could pack it up and lose by 20 points in a bunch of these games that they probably should against better teams. Apparently the Kings have made a habit of blowing games, and they remember the Bulls almost came back from down 30 earlier in the year against the Kings. They fell just short in that one. But this time the Kings completed the choke job. But I mean, every night the Bulls make these huge comebacks. They don't win every single time, but I mean, they never quit. They basically almost never get blown out, and they do deserve some credit for that. But it also just makes me think, like, you worry about how AK will take this, and like, oh man, like, we are so competitive. We never quit. We're so resilient. When like, that is true, but like, I think this record is kind of fool's gold. It's not even a good record. They're 29 and 32. But like, if they end the season with, again, a similar record to last season, like, that doesn't really mean anything, because they have won so many just insane games. Last season, if you look at last season, the clutch stuff, our guy Wilt Gottlieb had a nice breakdown of And also Matt at Bloggable on his Substack, breakdowns of kind of the clutch stuff. Going back, I mentioned a few years ago with DeMar, Bulls were one of the best clutch teams in the league with DeMar doing his thing. Last year, they were awful. Last year, their clutch record was terrible, and that's why they went 40-42, despite a, if you look at Basketball Reference, they have like an expected win-loss. They were, their expected win-loss was like 44. Their net rating last year was like plus 1 point something. They should have won like 44 or 45 games last year based on their net rating, but they lost so many close games and blew so many games. This year, it's flipped right back. They are 17-9 in clutch games since Zach's injury, on that since that November 30th. Their clutch net rating is like 25. Their clutch defensive rating is like 94 or 95 during this span. Like, teams just can't score on them in the clutch. They brick three-pointers. They shoot like 20% from three. They can't make free throws either. And meanwhile, Kobe and DeMar are just doing their thing. So, like, it's this whole combination of, like, DeMar's still doing his clutch thing. Kobe has made a legit leap. Io's also made some really big strides here. They are like, they deserve this credit for executing close games, for playing great offensively, but it can't help but feel like some of it's really fluky with how bad teams are just like melting down against them. So like, what does it ultimately mean? Like, are they learning to win games? Sure, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I think the Kobe stuff is real 100%. And Kobe White, again, is plus 87. Best plus minus in the NBA in clutch time this season. That's 12 points better than Derek White of the Boston Celtics. Which is great. And then you look like DeMar and Vooch, like both have insane like clutch plus minuses. So does Alex Crusoe. The Bulls are just a dominant clutch time team. And it's so funny when you look at the rest of their just like stats throughout the season. I tweeted this out yesterday too. The Bulls are like plus 82 in clutch time this year. Best in the league. They're like minus 167 the rest of the time during the season. It's like they're a bad team throughout basically the rest of the games. And then they get in the clutch time and they're close and they win all these games. So it's absolutely insane. It's almost hard to think. Like, it's definitely enjoyable in the moment when you make these big comebacks and everything, and like the resiliency and like seeing them have so much fun in these games and the post game stuff. But then it's just like, does it actually mean anything? AK is probably going to take the wrong message, the wrong like lessons from it all. And because ultimately they're probably a worse team than last year, but their record is going to be around the same just because they've pulled so many games out of their ass. It's been absolutely crazy. It has been just a wild thing with all these wins.
Jace, I can't get over some of the stats from this thread. You just mentioned a bunch of them, but the Bulls plus 82 in clutch minutes, first in the NBA, minus 167 in all other minutes. And credit Jason for being on top of this the entire season. The Bulls just doing some incredible work in crunch time this year. And it's funny because the story of two seasons ago when they had Lonzo for the first, you know, 40% of the season or whatever it was how good they were in crunch time with the two back-to-back DeMar DeRozan game winners on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day serving as the ultimate example of the Bulls' skill in crunch time. Last year, they were a terrible crunch time team. I think they lost three or four games at the buzzer, lost numerous other games, blowing leads in crunch time. Yep. I almost tweeted that yesterday while I was watching the Kings come back. Like, last year, the Bulls would have rolled over and died in that game. And this year, they come back to win. And I think that, you know, you have to sort of point to the absence of Zach LaVine in that. And I really like Zach LaVine. I think he's been a super good player, a super good scorer for the Bulls since they got him. But, you know, he just has like the anti-clutch gene. Like, yeah. Very
the elf in the room there.
Getting him off the court has been kind of a godsend for the Bulls. So we'll see if this maintains next year. I would be shocked if it did. To me, the Bulls absolutely have to make the playoffs this year, Jason, because if they don't, I'm pretty convinced they're going to be in for taking a step back next year. When DeRozan and Vooch are another year older, the clutch luck probably reverses because all this shit is a fluke. And at that point, if the Bulls fail to make the postseason, you know, it'll be consecutive years without playoff berths for AK. Next year, you know, we'll see. I'm not optimistic about them next year, as I just laid out. And then you also owe the 25 draft pick, top 10 protected to San Antonio. So there's certainly a lot going on with the Bulls, but it was nice to see Kobe ball out yesterday because those minutes have been catching up with Kobe. In February, Kobe's numbers dropped pretty significantly. He only shot 39% from the field in February. only 35% from three, and he averaged 20 points a game, 6.2 assists, 5.4 rebounds. So those are still like pretty good numbers. Obviously, you can't be shooting below 40% from the field, but Kobe's got a lot on his plate, leading the NBA in total minutes still. So, you know, he had a couple rough games in there, 2 of 14 against the Pistons, 5 of 20 against the Cavs, 5 of 18 against the Hornets. Those were all games where he finished with more field goal attempts than points. So against the Kings, I mean, Kobe's always been a streaky shooter. That's why it was funny when, you know, some of the discourse around his performance has been like, oh, the minutes are catching up with him. This is why you can't play Kobe, such a heavy workload. Well, I mean, he's just been a streaky shooter and streaky scorer throughout his entire career, really. And the reason he's been able to raise his level of play this year is because he has sustained his good stretches for longer. He was horrible at the beginning of the season. I was going on this podcast saying the Bulls needed to be playing Javon Carter over.
Woof.
Chase, that's one of my worst takes of all time.
Obviously, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Ended. Javon Carter proved to be kind of a bummer of a free agent signing when I thought he would be good. But, you know, Kobe, unbelievable last night. And my two favorite plays of the game were the two big dunks. In the second quarter, he totally shakes and bakes Harrison Barnes, makes him basically do a 360 spin on the ground. He gets so lost, slams it off 1 foot with one hand. And then while the Bulls were making their big comeback in the second quarter, Kobe gets the ball in semi-transition, does a little hesitation dribble, explodes to the basket for another one-handed dunk. Trey Kirby noted this on Twitter. I've noted it too. That Kobe already has more dunks this season than all of last season. In his entire career, he only had 20 dunks coming into this season. He's already got 11 dunks this year. So I think it is a testament to how much more explosive he's gotten, how much more confident he's gotten, and how much stronger he's gotten. And the bucket that gave the Bulls the lead last night was Kobe basically taking the ball at the end of the shot clock from half court on a busted possession.
Yeah, busted play.
Driving past his defender, driving into the middle of the defense, lowering his shoulder into Trey Lyles, who off the top of my head, I'm going to say is like 6'10", 240.
Something like that.
He drives Lyles back with his shoulder, maintains his balance, maintains his flexibility, and hits the go-ahead bucket to give the Bulls a lead they would never relinquish. So Kobe is a true bright spot. And it was really good to see that, you know, his charmed season is not going up in smoke just yet. He's continuing to play good ball. This was arguably the best game of his season, best game of his career. 37 points on 19 shots.
It was something like not done since like Michael Jordan. It was like 37 points on 14 of 19 shooting with like seven assists and five rebounds. Yeah.
He made four free throws, so it's not like he was grifting.
He was, I think, was it nine of ten from on two pointers? Like that's absolutely insane. You look at, you mentioned like Kobe and DeMar. If you had Io in there, they were like, I think combined like 33 of 46 from the field and like 24 of 29 on two pointers, which is absolutely insane for like three guards to do. Like, I mean, those guys were just absolutely on one, and they all sparked the big comeback. Obviously, yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to like the Kobe and like the clutch time stuff. Like, I don't want to call Kobe a fluke because I don't like, obviously some like this game, like the Timberwolves game, he had like outlier crazy performances that like, you won't have most games. So like that helped contribute to these, but like, I think overall over the course of the season, we've seen Kobe be really good in crunch time, getting these reps very helpful. So like with that and like the Bulls offensive execution, like giving Kobe more reps here, instead of having Zach LaVine take these crunch time reps, probably has contributed to the Bulls winning several more of these games as opposed to what happened last year. Again, Zach has hit a share of big shots over the course of his career, but last year was really just a huge disaster, and Zach was not good in crunch time last year. And Kobe has been very good in crunch time this year. And I mean, you mentioned he had just clutch basket after clutch basket along with DeMar last night to help get them, push them forward while the Kings pissed down their leg the entire fourth quarter. And that, like I said, I don't think the Kobe stuff is a fluke. The IO stuff, I don't know if he'll sustain, but I mean, he's been playing really well for a good couple months now, and he keeps hitting clutch three-pointers as well. He hit one when they were down, what was it? I think he'd made it like a four-point game when they were down seven, I think, with like 4 minutes to go, something like that. And he just keeps hitting clutch threes. He had a few clutch threes against the Cavs. So these guys, the young guys, I think making these clutch shots is definitely not necessarily fluky stuff. I think some of the defensive success and teams melting down, that's a bit more fluky and has helped with this record, but legit positives with Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu, and obviously DeMar has been doing this stuff forever. So like, Bulls have just been a great clutch time team. And even in the fourth quarters as well, one of the other stats I wanted to bring up too that I tweeted about, you look at the offensive rating from first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. The Bulls have one of the worst in the league. I think it's like bottom seven or eight in each of those three quarters. In the fourth quarter, the Bulls are like number two or number three in offensive rating. It jumps up just a massive amount, which is so funny because these guys are playing some of the heaviest minutes in the league. DeMar's been playing 40 minutes a night for 3 months. Kobe's been playing almost 40 minutes a night for 3 months and also not missing games. DeMar and Kobe, Kobe has played every game this year. DeMar has missed like one or two games. These guys are playing heavy minutes and not missing any time, which is honestly crazy. Like we all make fun of Tibbs for the minutes load. And like, we've seen the Knicks team like basically fall apart and we obviously knew that from back in the day, blaming minutes on injuries and stuff like that. DeMar and Kobe are out here just playing way more minutes than everybody else. And then they're not getting hurt, or at least getting hurt enough to miss time. I think both guys have kind of been battling through some stuff. So it's been really crazy on that front. Like I said, I do keep worrying about that they're just going to fall apart at the end of the season, but they just keep pulling these wins out of their ass, man. I just don't know how they keep doing it. It's absolutely insane, bonkers stuff. And it's keeping them like within somewhat striking distance of maybe moving up to eight. Like the Pacers have been kind of falling back. I think the Bulls are like 4.5 back of them right now. Like it's still very improbable that they can get up to eight, but like they're still kind of there again and keeping that number nine spot just like on lock. Like they're not going to fall to 10. They're certainly not going to fall out.
Yeah. DeMar is still so good when he's rested, and I was looking for the splits. I don't have them up.
Basketball Reference should have them easy to find.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, I got them now.
Okay.
So, when DeMar has 2 days rest, he has a 64% true shooting percentage. When he has 1 day rest, he has a 56% true shooting percentage. So that just sort of shows you how much more efficient he is as a scorer when he has real rest. His turnover rate is also way down when he has more rest. So that's really the big thing for DeMar. Like he came out pretty flat against the Bucks. I believe that was their third game in four nights.
Yeah, that was a tired performance.
Yeah, it just looked like a very tired performance, not just from DeMar, but from the entire
team. And they lost their cool. Patrick Beverley and Bobby Portis yapping and pulling their bullshit. That was a miserable game all around. But
totally. Yeah. Point is, when DeMar's got a little bit of rest, DeMar is still very good. He continues to slip down the age curve. He gets a little worse every year. But, I mean, the guy's incredible. You got to appreciate what he's doing.
Professional scorer.
What was that?
Professional scorer, I believe is the term people like using.
It's a professional scorer. And then the other big storyline with the Bulls as of late is the shooting progression of Ayo Dosunmu. Jason, since January 1st, 2024, Ayo Dosunmu has taken 123 three-pointers. He has knocked down 56 of those shots, good for a 45.6% mark from three-point range in the new year, 2024. To put it in perspective, Kobe has taken more attempts, 197. He's only shooting 38% from three over that time. Caruso, who was shooting the ball really well at the start of the year, is shooting only 32% from three since January
1st. I believe he revealed that he has an injury that he's been playing through, right? That's affected his shot.
Yeah, he did say that in a new interview with Casey Johnson that ran at NBC Sports Chicago. You can check that out. Vooch, you got to credit him for being consistent all year. 27% from three in 2024. He has just not been able to buy a bucket the entire year. Yet, the Bulls somehow still keep fighting, still keep competing, Jason. So it's funny because between Kobe, Ayo, DeMar, Drummond and
Caruso.
Those five guys have really been super fun to watch and have put together a really compelling performance for the Bulls this season. Since that 5-14 start, the Bulls continue to play at about a 47 win pace overall. What happened after that 5-14 start? Well, Zach LaVine, for the most part, was out of the lineup, and the Bulls have been really good without Zach. It continues to be a huge question hanging over the team next year. Can they get rid of Zach this offseason? Will they try to move on from Vooch, who has just been one of the least efficient high-volume scorers in the NBA this year? I'm skeptical of both of those things, but one thing I know for sure, damn, signing Kobe to that contract looks really good from a team-building perspective. Same thing with the Ayo deal, as he is now verging on being a very solid starter as he's improved his three-point shot. He's above 40% for the season. Like I said, 45% in 2024. That's from three-point range. So, you know, those are two nice building blocks for the team. DeMar is a really good veteran. Patrick Williams, I thought, was taking a little bit of a step forward, but then he got hurt, and now his career is very much in jeopardy, and his status on the team is in jeopardy, you know, headed into restricted free agency. So it's just a shame that, you know, the Bulls have Kobe and Ayo on these very team-friendly deals, yet they're paying all this bad money to LaVine, to Lonzo, to Vooch, that just sort of like prevents the team from taking advantage of any of these team friendly contracts they have. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's so great the Bulls have these guys on team friendly deals, because I think, you know, if Kobe would have had this season last year, he'd be making $25 million a year at minimum, right?
The Bulls probably also would have won like maybe 50 games last year if he did.
Right. They really could have used him too.
And maybe not 50, but like they probably would have won 45 or 46 like they probably should have based on their
win. And same thing with Ayo. He would have gotten a much bigger contract. And I thought, you know, I'll give credit to AK for this one, because I thought that Ayo contract was a pretty big overpay.
Yeah.
They signed
same.
3 years, $21 million.
He was bad last year.
For 2 years and $10 million just on player options.
Yeah.
But the 3-point shot was the big thing in his game that he lacked, and now he has it, and I think he's looking like let's say a fourth or fifth starter probably, who could give you good on-ball defense, kind of shaky off-ball defense, and you know, some attacking, some ball handling creation, and now some spot-up shooting. So
I mean, he's scoring just like
to hang their hat on, but
I was gonna say he's scoring just like much better lately, even besides like obviously the three-point shooting is a big part of that, but like and he's great in transition. I mean, you just look at some of these games recently for him. Like he had 20 last night. He had, he had 15 against Milwaukee, 21 in the Cavs win, 21 in the New Orleans win. and he struggled against the Pistons. But that was basically like, Bulls have a lot of outlier fluke wins this year. The Pistons loss was an outlier fluke loss with that bad shooting. But then like he had a 29 in that Atlanta win. Just the amount of times getting over 20 points, like we always made fun of Patrick Williams. Like, can you score fucking 20 points in a game? Like Io has been doing it much more frequently lately, and he's doing it very efficiently as well. So like, it's great to see, because like he was obviously an awesome offensive player in college. He was the number one guy on those Illinois teams, but like we really weren't sure if that was going to translate to NBA scoring, just because he's not the most explosive guy. His shot was a big question mark. Like, was he being able to score in the NBA? And now he's scoring a bit more. And he's probably around like, he scored 16 points a game on high efficiency in February. He was 13 points a game on high efficiency in January. He's had 15 points, 20 points to start these games. And obviously he's playing huge minutes, but like, it's good to see him being an offensive threat when he was really bad for most of last season, especially coming down to the end of last season. So definitely, again, yeah, him and Kobe are legitimate bright spots. Like, as down as we are about the Bulls in general, those two are legitimate bright spots. The question, of course, again, is that we're coming back to, is just like projecting it forward. It's like, again, the rest of the season, as I think we all think, it's going to be a wash. I tweeted this out today. My prediction right now is the Bulls are going to get the 9 seed. They're going to beat the shitty Atlanta Hawks. We'll see if they get Trae Young back. But either way, home game against the Hawks in the play-in tournament, the Bulls are going to beat the crappy Atlanta Hawks, because the Bulls own Trae Young, and they'll own him in that game too, even if he does play. Io owns Trae Young. The Bulls will beat the Atlanta Hawks in that game. And then the second play-in game, right now I would guess it's going to be against the Indiana Pacers, who have kind of fallen back. Tyrese Haliburton has really been slipping a bit after he's been dealing with some injury problems, and he's been struggling. Who knows? The race in the East is kind of interesting now, because Miami and Orlando have been kind of picking it up, and they both have very easy schedules to close the year. The Knicks have fallen back. The Sixers have fallen back because of injuries. We'll see if one of those, like the Knicks or Sixers, could end up in the play-in too. But like, if the Sixers get Embiid back and they're in the play-in, like that would assume they'd win. If the Knicks get healthy enough and they're in the play-in, I would assume they would win too. We'll see. But right now I'm guessing the second play-in game will be against the Indiana Pacers. And the Bulls will play that game in Indiana. They will fall down by 15 to 20 points. They will make a comeback and they will win in the final minute, because that's what they've done this season, to get the 8 seed and play the Boston Celtics, who are projecting right now to be one of the 5 best regular season teams of all time, which means the Bulls will get absolutely fucking demolished by the Boston Celtics in the first round. But, and especially if they win one game, we will get an AK victory tour, because coming from 5-14 and then to get the 8th seed and make the playoffs is going to be a big, with the injuries, with Zach LaVine being hurt, with Patrick Williams being hurt, will be a huge, huge step in the right direction, a huge success. They'll bring this team back, not make many changes, and we'll be doing this all again next season. So then next season, we look at another season of this group. Where does it go? Does Kobe have another step in him? I have no idea. I didn't think he had this step in him, so I'm not going to put a cap on it, but like, will he be able to take yet another step? Will Io have another? Will he sustain this? Does he have another step? I don't know. Vooch is even another year older, so another year worse. DeMar, as good as he has been in general, he has taken a slight step back overall. Another step back probably coming. And if he's not like quite as good in the clutch, again, more losses. The clutch regression will probably hit a little bit. So it's like, where exactly is the team building towards if they just basically bring this whole team back? Again, I don't want to be such a huge bummer and just like be always constantly harping on this, but it is like, it is always in the back of my mind when they win these games like this and they pull these comebacks. It's like, this is fun in the moment. You feel great for these guys. They deserve the credit. But you just keep worrying about AK thinking, being satisfied with where this group is at and thinking that it's good enough. And that, oh yeah, like, you know, maybe they trade Zach, maybe they don't, or they just bring Zach back and you know, like, Kobe and Io, they're going to keep getting better, and maybe our other young guys will keep getting better, and we're just going to keep doing it, and at some point we're really going to break through, and it's would probably just result in a similar record as this season, maybe even taking a step back if they do have clutch regression. And it's just like, what are you building towards? And that's just always in the back of our mind, and it's just unfortunate, because there are some things to be legitimately happy about with these pleasant surprises with Kobe's leave, Io's leave.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, you just can't trust Arturis to, deduce the right things from this season, and that's a shame because it puts the fans in a very awkward position. Jason, I've kind of convinced myself what's best for the long-term future of the Bulls is to miss the playoffs this year because then next season, when the clutch luck inevitably regresses, they will have missed the playoffs 3 years in a row. They will not have, any sort of bubbling young superstar on the team barring another Kobe leap. Then maybe they could fire Arturis because as long as Arturis is in charge of the Bulls, the team will continue to be totally directionless and make its decisions based on complete fucking nonsense, because that's what Arturis has proven with his words and with his actions or lack of actions so far as the leader of the Bulls. So, Arturis has done some pretty good things. I think, I bashed the Io pick when they made it. Io looks really good now. The Drummond signing was an excellent minimum signing. I give him credit for, sticking with Kobe and getting him on a extension and bringing him back. But, this stuff doesn't matter if you can't really hit the big stuff. And in general, it should not be a huge accomplishment to be a 500 NBA team. No one should be satisfied with that. And I don't know if any team in the league really would be satisfied with that outside of Arturis and the Bulls, who, whether or not he's just acting out Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf orders, or if he truly believes in his heart that this is what the fans want, this is what the city demands, it's just ridiculous, Jason, for Arturis to believe that building a 500 team is like the pinnacle. So, like you said, dude, he's going to take a fucking championship level victory lap if the Bulls get the 8 seed, if they play the Celtics. So for the players' sake, I want to see them make the playoffs. I want to see Kobe get some more playoff experience. I want to see Io, see what it's like to go against the Celtics in the postseason, and maybe that'll raise his level of play. But I know that it's just going to be another disappointing offseason. It's going to be a DeRozan extension that'll be a year longer and a little bit more money than you want it to be. It's probably going to be another, toolsy forward who can't shoot in the draft. They choose to keep that pick. And then a couple more minimum signings, because that's all AK has ever done. And why would he change now when, it's been years, since 2021, since he's traded for an actual live basketball player? So Arturis sucks. The Bulls are totally adrift with him in charge, but credit the team on the floor for sort of blocking out the noise and to play their
competing
best again and again. And Jace, if the Bulls do make the playoffs this season, and if that does buy Arturis a little rope, I wish I could place a bet on the Bulls 5 years from now, trading multiple first-round picks to acquire Domantas Sabonis and Brandon Ingram, to keep the same midness going. Sabonis is 27 right now. Ingram's 26. I think the Bulls can land both those guys when they're about 32 and on the downside of their prime. There was a graph going around today from
Betsy,
who tweeted out Vooch's RAPM or whatever that stat's called.
Some advanced stat.
Fired him. It is a stark drop off in play from the moment the Bulls acquired him.
It's like a roller coaster right down.
We still got two more years of Vooch left. They're basically locked into this team. Despite all the good things happening on the floor, or the occasional good thing happening on the floor, it's tough to be too jacked up about it.
But it's just
the team play. They really do compete. They play hard. So I think, if you're trying to do winners and losers from this bowl season, one of the biggest winners has got to be Donovan. Like, Donovan has sort of asserted himself as a coach who could get the most out of his talent. The way he, got the team to not let go of the rope when they started 5-14 has been really impressive. They've certainly responded since then. So, Billy's been pretty good too. And I would love to feel better about this team, Jace, especially after a win as inspiring as the Sacramento win. And I could have, if they would have traded Caruso, let Vooch walk and started Drummond. But, that's not continuity, and continuity keeps our tourists warm and fuzzy at night. So that's what it all comes back to.
Yeah. So we don't want to be like super huge bummers because we just been complaining about them, this team, so much.
That's
about
amazing what win, doing,
but
amazing,
yeah, I mean, it was yeah, good for them. Like, I mean, just yeah, DeMar scoring 19 points on 7-for-7 shooting in the fourth quarter is hilarious. Like, that's amazing. Kobe scoring 37. He's had two, I think just two like highest scoring NBA games in his career, both against the Kings. I think he had his previous career, I think, was 36 against the Kings like a year or two ago. I mean, just insane, like just crazy stuff down the stretch for him. Just in control, just getting buckets. Great stuff. So like they keep doing it. Like I just keep expecting them to like stop these comebacks, but they just won't. And like they're, I mean, right now they're just like a try hard, super try. It's almost like a Tibbs team. Like they're a super like undermanned, try hard Tibbs team that keeps winning more games than they really should. You know how it's going to end, but there are at least are some, like I said, young things to look for in the future. You just like, you just don't know really. It's just seems like it's still probably going nowhere, which is just unfortunate. It'd be nice if there was just like a little brighter future to look forward to with the team. But so I guess like if you wanted to just like not think about that, you just try to live in the moment with each game and just be like, you know, this is kind of fun watching these guys play. Like, I guess that's all you can really do. Just like stop worrying about AK doing whatever the hell he's going to do and probably running things back again and not basically not doing anything once again. And just kind of enjoy the ride. So like I said, we kind of know how this is going to go. The Bulls are pretty much locked into the nine, and they will have a puncher's chance to get out of the play-in tournament and play Boston Celtics in the first round. If they somehow got to eight and somehow won that game, like you're playing probably the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round. Like, I mean, you're getting smoked in the first round almost like no matter what's going to happen here. So I was like, we know how it's going to end. So just enjoy the ride with some of these young guys, and that's kind of what we're going to have to do without bashing our head in the wall too many times thinking about the future of the team.
Still 4.5 games behind the Pacers, so it's going to be very difficult to get the number 8 seed. I think they're locked into 9. And yeah, we'll see, Jace. The Bulls have to go 9-12 to hit the over that me and you both bet.
They're going
to
do it, man. The way they're going.
Digits on. Jason, we're closing this podcast with this. Would you rather have the Bulls make the playoffs or hit the over?
Give me that over. I mean,
give me the over.
Yeah, give me the over. Like, if they get, give me my money. Yeah, give me my money. If they don't make the playoffs, I just really don't care because they're going to get smoked. Like, would I like to see Kobe get some playoff minutes as like a lead ball handler? Yes, Io as well. But like, if that, I mean, I guess like if they do both, that's I guess the best case scenario. And they're probably going to, like I said, 9-12, they should be able to do. They play the Wizards, I think, 3 times down the stretch. Like, the Wizards haven't won a game in, like, 2 months. Like, they're probably going to beat the Wizards several times. They'll get, I think, they're with thanks to these big comeback wins, I think they're going to get, they're going to hit that over. Whether they'll probably end up with. Again, I think they're gonna end up 40-42. They're gonna get the same exact record as last year, which is the funniest possible outcome. Just getting there and like almost the exact opposite way by winning all their clutch games instead of blowing them. So that would be just almost perfect and poetic. And then, again, maybe this time around they'll actually get that 8 seed and get some extra home revenue for Jerry Reinsdorf.
Just real quick, the schedule is pretty tough coming up. So Wednesday, they got Utah. Thursday, they got Golden State. Saturday, they got the Clippers. All those are on the road.
Yeah.
Monday, they come back home to play Dallas. Wednesday, they're on the road against Indiana. It's totally possible they could lose 5 straight.
They won't.
And they're at home against the Clippers.
But they won't. They're gonna win at least 2 or 3 of these games because that's what they've done. Like every time we look at the schedule, it's like, oh, this is really tough. They go out and they pull off a 20-point comeback against the Timberwolves or the Kings, or they go out and pull a fourth-quarter comeback against the Cavs. Like, these are all games they probably should have lost, and they probably should be, again, 26-35, but they keep finding ways to win, and I'm just going to assume that's going to keep happening. Like, they're going to keep winning these games. Like, the clutch luck and the clutch stuff this season, it just seems like it's part of their deal, and it's going to keep happening. Or maybe the luck does totally run out at some point, that the minutes do catch up to them. Or like if DeMar somehow did get hurt, like they'd obviously just be totally fucked. Or DeMar or Kobe get hurt and miss any time, they're totally fucked for sure. Again, those guys playing such huge minutes and playing like every game is just gives them a baseline of play basically every night and keeps them #, competitive. So like if those guys miss any time, they're going to start losing more, but so far they've been healthy. They play huge minutes every night. They keep pulling these games out of their ass. So I'm just going to assume they're going to keep doing it. And they're going to just keep going kind of around the record that they have. And they're going to end 40-42.
All right. Well, Jace, I think you can close it out.
Yep. That's going to do it for us here on this episode of Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. As always, shout out to the Blue Wire Network. If you like what we're doing here at Cash, we have a bunch of other great NBA pods and just podcasts in general. Please go check them out all across the Blue Wire Network. For us here at Cash, please rate and review us. Give us those five-star ratings wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those good places. You can follow us on Twitter or X, whatever the hell you want to call it. I'm at Bulls_J. Ricky is at SBN_Ricky. Please go check out Ricky's work at SBNation.com. With March Madness coming up in the draft, NBA draft season and all that kind of stuff, Ricky will be all in on that kind of stuff. So please, as always, check out his content. And of course, NBA playoffs coming up soon as well. So check out all his great stuff at SBNation.com. Please also go check out ClutchPoints.com as well. So that's going to do it for us here on this episode of Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. Again, Utah Warriors back-to-back, and then Clippers, and I believe that's a Saturday matinee. That feels like a game that could just be like a completely ugly, nasty bullshit game that the Bulls pull out of their butt. Like, I know like overnight in like an early game in LA is a recipe for disaster, but like I could see like the Clippers just like sleepwalking through that game and just it being really ugly and the Bulls pulling another one out. But we will see. They just keep doing it. The cardiac Bulls, the clutch Bulls, the continuity Bulls, the competitive Bulls, just keep doing it. We'll see if they keep it up even on the rest of this road trip and some of those tough games coming up. So we will talk to you guys probably sometime next week after this road trip.